We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back at the baseball winter meetings, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan from Mandalay Bay Hotel. And, you know, we've had players, we've had general managers and coaches and fans, but now we're finally going to get the real thing here, Tony.
The inside scoop.
A sports writer. That's where you got to get the information from. As everybody knows, I started as a sports writer at the LA Times in San Diego, and our guest is a writer for the LA Times, Ken Gernick.
Got one of the good ones with us.
One of the really good ones.
MLB.com.
And now MLB.com. But we were colleagues, but didn't know it. I guess we were far apart back in the day. How you doing, Ken?
I'm good. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
Ken, the Dodgers got an interesting offseason ahead of them. It was reported yesterday that they're looking to move two of the four outfielders. They have, over the past 3 or 4 years, have really loaded up on depth. And now it seems like the funds have stacked up enough to where they're trying to unload some of that depth they have now. What are you hearing on the Dodger front?
Well, on the trade front, Corey Kluber seems to be a high ticket item for them.
Really?
Oh, good. There goes the Padres' chances.
Right, that's what I just said.
Well, because he's controllable, he's an upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
They have depth, but you know, a lot of those guys really won't crack their rotation. Kluber would.
Definitely.
Sure. He'd crack anybody's rotation, and along with Kershaw and Walker Buehler, that would be big three, and that would put them in a position in October where, you know, they actually might get over the hump. And I think really what they're looking for is a difference maker, whether it's a Kluber, whether somehow an outfielder like Bryce Harper comes back to them if he doesn't get the 10-year deal he wants, something like that. Somebody who really can put them over the hump in October, and if they don't find one here, they probably will wait until the trade deadline, which are usually very active, and somehow get a Manny Machado or somebody like that.
Sure.
So they've done that in the past.
Now, that is mind-boggling to me. As I've watched over the last 3 years, the Dodgers get further and further. The one thing that they seem to be missing is bullpen, and I didn't hear any of that in that conversation right there.
You're right. They don't seem to want to pay for that, you know, outside of the closer. Which
so they're
they
sticking to this tier two, tier three type thing.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, that's what it looks like. They could change that, but I think that they feel that an impact starter would be a better investment than maybe a setup guy who you wind up having to pay like a closer. That's something they haven't seemed willing to do. Of course, that could always change, but we're not hearing that much. They've already said that, the bullpen's always, if you can boost it up, that's great. But the catcher is probably the number one thing they need now, with Yasmani Grandal leaving as a free agent. So they need somebody to pair with Austin Barnes, who they haven't given up on, even though he had a really rough year.
Yeah.
Catcher, they have to get. They can get that through free agent. You know, they're kind of on the fringe of the Real Muto talks, but Miami's asked for so much that the Dodgers don't seem to be interested in paying up for that position. But I could see them paying up for a Corey Kluber.
Yeah.
MLB.com now. Ken Gernick joins us here on the 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to go back to last year's trade deadline and getting Manny Machado. I didn't know a whole lot about him being in Southern California and in a National League city. We didn't. Just heard how great he was, really, with the Baltimore Orioles, and they were hardly ever on television. It just didn't seem like I saw him play that much. So I was really excited to see him come to the Dodgers and watch him play. And then I was disappointed just with the effort he gave and the attitude and the whole thing. Was everyone else disappointed when that whole thing kind of came to an end, or did we overrate how much that didn't work?
He's really talented.
Well, that, yeah.
There's no argument with that. He's actually fun to watch, you know. He kind of reminds me of the way Puig was when he first started,
yeah.
Right? You know, and then Puig hasn't been able to maintain it, and this guy has maintained it.
Yeah.
You know, but then you've got the other issues. You know, everybody's got some flaws, and and his flaws came at the worst possible time. You know, here's a guy playing for free agency, and you figure for 2 months going to be on his best behavior, and he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't playing badly.
No.
And he probably was surprisingly good defensively from what we had heard. I mean, he can just do things physically that most ball players can't do, you know, wish they could do. So it was still fun to watch him, but he didn't make, you know, part of the problem was his first name. Everybody expected Manny Ramirez, you know, the second coming. And he was good, but he wasn't that good. When Manny Ramirez showed up after that trade, I mean, he was ungodly. You know, he was just crazy good. And Machado was good, but he wasn't that good. And with all the hype and the free agency looming out there, I think, you know, fans especially expected him to take him to the World Series title, and, you know, it just didn't happen. And then it got clouded with his comments and his, you know, lack of hustle occasionally, and it just, you know, it's just kind of a bad taste at the end all the way around.
Ken, after the season ends, the World Series ends, the Dodgers pick up the option of Dave Roberts. We work a few months down the line, they end up giving him extension. Why in the world did it take so long?
That's something they could probably answer. I think, you know, it was money, and I think that they feel that, you know, they've got a certain budget for coaching staff, certain budget for a manager, and, you know,
relievers.
If they can't, you relievers, whatever. And, you know, if you're not willing to take what they want to give you, then, you know, they can find somebody else. So, not, you know, I mean, it's hard to knock a guy who gets a team to a World Series back-to-back, although, you know, if you don't win and you expect to win, people knock them, right? But I think Dave's done a great job under the circumstances that he's given, you know, and he has had to control the clubhouse, which all managers do. He's had a lot of input from up above, which nowadays a lot of managers do.
right?
You know, they've got a lot of money invested and a lot of brain power invested in trying to find the edge. And when they think they have it, they tell them, here's the edge, you know. And if you're a manager who gets hired with the understanding that that's how it's going to operate, then that's how it's going to operate.
You
gotta
fall in.
And if you don't operate that way, someone else will. So I think Dave is good at balancing all of those, you know, different, you know, tugging from all different directions. I think he's great at it, really. But, you know, the fans will look at, you know, one move in a game, you know, with all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes, and, you know, and they have to blame somebody, and he's gotten the blame, you know, on the World Series last 2 years, and I think it's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
But he did get his contract. They also spent time on Clayton Kershaw and extending him. They lost their GM. So I think they're a little bit behind, really.
Did they, though? Did they really? I mean, they kind of seem like the two-headed monster up there.
Well, but still, then you're only half a monster now. Right?
Good point.
Ken Gernick is with us talking a little Dodgers winter meetings here in Las Vegas, writes for MLB.com. Ken, take us to the Dodger above the general manager, the ownership. I'm sure the fans are very frustrated in L.A., and, of course, there's about 28 other baseball teams that could tell them, hey, getting to the World Series 2 years in a row isn't all that bad, but, you know, the fans want to win the championship. Is ownership going to put pressure, undue, unfair pressure on this organization to say, hey, look, we really don't even care about getting to the World Series anymore. We have to win, which is something that's almost out of somebody's control when you get right down
right.
to it.
Yeah, I think they want to win as much as anybody. You know, I mean, maybe the motives are a little more financial than whatever you want to say. They want to win.
Yeah.
Everybody there wants to win, and they've been knocking on the door, you know. And like you said, you know, it's not so easy to even get there, let alone, you know, in that short series, you know, and you know, maybe things break your way or they don't. You know, the Dodgers in the past have had teams maybe better than the one that was in the World Series this year that didn't even get that far. So a lot of it, you know, unfortunately turns into luck, you know. But
right.
I don't think it's a lack of desire on the part of ownership. I think they want it as bad as anybody else. And I think that they've shown with the payroll over the years,
yeah.
you know, they've stepped up and made deals, taken on salary. You know, I think really – You might be able to pin not winning a World Series on a lot of things, but I don't think it's a lack of desire
no.
by ownership.
Ken, you've been covering this team for quite some time. You've seen the philosophy shift in how they're going to use guys. It seemed, and as you brought this up, Dave Roberts has done, I think, as good a job as you could possibly do, managing playing time, keeping everybody happy. I just wonder at some point, these guys that are splitting time who feel like they should be everyday players, at what point is this not going to work?
Well, they're not happy now.
That's okay. What it seems like it's only going to get worse.
But there's a difference between not being happy and then taking it out on the field. And I haven't seen that part of it.
Okay.
But, you know, Matt Kemp was not happy last year. He went to the All-Star game and he almost disappeared in the second half. You know, his production went down. And these things happen. You know, generally, the numbers will lead you to a player who's going to be put in position to succeed, and hopefully you win games and they wind up going to the World Series. So they could say, look, you can be unhappy if you want, but it's actually working. I think what it probably will take a toll on free agents. Do I want to, especially second-level free
right.
agents, do I want to come to L.A. and become a part-time player? Or do I want to go somewhere where I know I'm going to be a full-time player? And I think this whole rotational thing and the platoon thing, I think that really will have an effect on when a free agent decides, is that where I want to go? Or will they be willing to overpay for a part-time player?
Right.
Probably not. So I think that may take its toll down the road. But I think right now, you know, if you're a young player, you're not going to get paid. And you're probably going to be sitting, you know, if you're a left-handed hitter against a left-handed pitcher. And even if you won the Rookie of the Year last year, that's how it's going to be.
And that's why their philosophy makes so much sense, because as long as they have you under team control, you pretty much have to do as the bosses say at that point.
Exactly.
And that's why I think they've had success, though, because it's been mainly young guys coming up and doing damage to mix in with some of the vets that play every
And
day.
The key to that is when a Yasmani Grandal is now a free agent, that you got four catching prospects in the system like they do, or you could say, you know, you either accept what we're offering or you leave. We got guys to replace you, and that's how it's going to be. And we're not going to step up and give you $60 million like someone else probably will, because they don't have four catchers in the system. So but it's not easy to do that at every position.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's where it gets tricky, right?
Right. You know, so they got Alex Verdugo. You know, they got a guy here, a guy there. They've had three Rookie of the Year type players, you know, in three straight years, Walker Buehler finishing third. But, you know, he was as important to them as any other rookie in the league, really.
Right.
So they've been able to keep that pipeline going.
Yeah, last thing, Ken, I really appreciate your time and all the insight on the Dodgers. Of course, we love to hate the Dodgers in San Diego, but one of the things we love about San Diego right now is the farm system and the prospects, and everybody talks about how great. I don't think we realize how good still, as you kind of just alluded to, that the Dodgers farm system is. I mean, they traded
it. Does it ever get bad?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, they traded, if my count was right, about 8 or 9 guys at the trade deadline from their system in order to get the Machados and some of these other pieces for the stretch run. It didn't seem to bother them at all, because it seems like they have more young talent maybe than even the Padres do, and all the Padres do is tell us how great all their young talent is.
Well, and not only that, they've done this every year. They're active at the trade deadline every year. You know, when they got Rich Hill, they traded three young pitchers, you know, and then the next year they did it again, you know, and they did it again. So you're right. That's not easy to do. You have to have a system where they're sharp in their draft, and, you know, more of those players make it than the other teams. And you have to be able to develop them and get them ready for the major leagues. And then you have to manage them properly. And I don't mean just the manager, but I mean that whole system and the analytics, and, you know, use them against the right pitchers and sit them against the wrong pitchers. And they're pretty good at doing that.
Yes,
and
they
and they I think they squeeze more value out of each player because of it. But, you know, getting back to Tony's point, you know, you've got guys sitting on the bench and in the clubhouse are unhappy because they won the Rookie of the Year last year and they want to know why they're not playing,
right.
You know, and so they've got it, you know, balancing that, and that falls back on Dave Roberts.
He's done amazing with that. Ken Gernick, great talking to you, great talking baseball with you. Thanks for joining us at the winter meetings, and best of luck down the road, sticking with the good old MLB.com. It was fun working with you when we didn't really work together at the LA Times.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, kid.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.